This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, and maybe with you on the phone if you have a question for Zorba. Here's our toll-free number, 800-462-7413. Zorba really wants to hear from you if you have a question.
I do.
800-462-7413. Zorba, along with the calls, some interesting research to
yes.
talk about.
Men are wimps when it comes to getting colds. Men are wimps. We're going to talk about, is that true or is that false, and how wimpy are men when they get the cold or the flu?
Are you wimpier than Penny?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It depends on who you talk to. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. Maybe it's just a women's thing to say that men are wimps.
Anyway, that we'll get to that. And what else?
Study that shows that exercise may delay the onset of dementia. In other words, go out and jog, and you may not ever get demented. That's really interesting, isn't it?
And our recipe, which I'm sure will be...
Tropical tempeh stir-fry, Tom. It uses tempeh, and you don't even know what tempeh is.
I think...
Yes, you do.
I think it's tofu.
Yes, you do.
Is it tofu?
Tofu, by any other name, is just as sweet.
That's
just
coming
as
up.
Sweet.
Along with your calls at 800-462...
Edna St. Vincent Millay, was that who it was? I'm sure we're going to get an English major who's going to let us know who it was.
800-462-7413. A listener with us now, Zorba, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hey, Zorba. Hi, Tom.
Hi. How are you?
I'm getting better. I'm getting over a cold.
Oh. You're getting over a cold. And you're not a wimp about it. You're not a wimp.
Well, no. I just went to bed for 3 days.
Yeah, there you
let
go.
Let the hubby and kid do their thing.
How can we help you?
Well, it's about my daughter.
Okay.
I've got a 12-and-a-half-year-old who, thank heavens, isn't into sweets.
Mm-hmm.
She's into salt.
Salt.
Salt. The saltier, the sourer, the better. My concern is her father's side of the family has a very strong history of hypertension.
Got it. They've got high blood pressure. Okay.
Very high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. He's on hypertensive medication.
Got it.
My parents were hypertensive.
I'm not, but...
I'm trying to break the cycle if I can.
So what does she eat? I mean, she doesn't. You don't have a salt lick in the house, right?
No,
she just go around and lick
potato chips, pickles. I've finally gotten her to where she'll at least taste her food before she puts salt on.
You know, I have to tell you something that I never noticed. Either it's new in quick, you know, grocery stores, quick trip type places you go to. It's either new or I've just started to notice it. The aisles say sweet snacks, salty snacks. And have you ever noticed that, Tom? They say sweet snacks in one aisle and salty snacks in another aisle.
No, I haven't ever noticed that.
And I think it's because people now are eating more and more salty snacks. And I've got an aunt, my favorite aunt, Aunt Myrtle. God bless her. May she live forever. She's 89 years old and she's always eaten salty snacks. And my mother used to eat sweet snacks and she always called them salty snacks.
Sometimes in Paris.
Yeah, in Paris.
They have separate.
France.
Yeah. When you go into the good stores where you can buy good stuff.
Yeah.
They have them separated. I don't know the words for it, but sweet on one side
and salt
on the other.
Wow. So that's it.
How do I stop?
Your daughter is French. That's the whole thing. How do you stop her?
She's Hungarian.
Oh, she's Hungarian. I'm sorry. It should be peppery snacks. You know.
Well, she does like chicken paprikash.
Oh, I love chicken paprikash myself. I've got a great recipe from an old Hungarian friend. Anyway, getting back to your daughter. You know, it's very difficult to change habits. You know, the issue with salt is just like the issue with sweets. You've got to talk to her about it. You've got to try to encourage any things that do not always have salt. But your issue is she going to develop high blood pressure because she's eating salty foods? Let me assure you of one thing. There's no evidence that shows that you develop high blood pressure because you eat a lot of salt. We know in societies where they have a lot of salt.
How about kidneys, Zorba? Because I know people on dialysis can't eat salt.
She's 12 years old,
No. I'm saying is there anything wrong with eating salt at 12 that will endanger
Absolutely not. The data is very, very weak on this. Now we've been saying for years, and dietitians will always say, eat less salt.
Right.
Eat less
right.
salt. It's better for you. But the reality is, if your kidneys are healthy, as hers are, there's no evidence that we're actually doing damage to those kidneys.
Okay.
So the issue of proper eating is a giant issue in America. And the reality is, she should try to vary the foods that she's eating. And, you know, with 12-year-olds, you know, you can lead them, but you can't get them to do what you want to do except by trying to show them examples. So,
well, why should she try to do anything if there's no danger?
Well, because you still have to encourage healthy habits. That's how children develop.
I'm lucky in the fact that she prefers fruits and veggies to chocolate.
Absolutely.
And she's always been that way.
Count your blessings. So she's not going to develop high blood pressure. You've got a great relationship. It sounds like that with your daughter. Enjoy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call. So that was, you would say, Zorba, a myth.
A myth, Tom. A myth.
Well, now let's start our new segment for Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our, and this is not easy for me to say, medical myth buster.
Medical myth busters. Medical myth busters. Medical myth busters.
Medical
great,
myth
I did it without
buster.
Tying up my tongue.
Today's myth is one that we've discussed on the show many times before. It's the old theory that putting a bar of soap in the bed with you will cure restless leg syndrome.
Aha!
Now, we've talked about this.
Yes, we have, Tom.
And it is indeed a myth, but I'm interested. Do you have any knowledge about how this thing has started and how long it's been going on?
You know, trying to find the seed of a myth, looking for exactly where it started, is very, very difficult. But it's an old myth. It's a myth that's been around for many, many years. There's a myth that people who basically put soap at the end of the bed, here's the myth, at the end of their bed, usually it's one or two bars of soap. Some of the myths say there should be two bars of soap versus one bar of soap. At the end of the bed, the myth also includes the type of soap, by the way. Some myths say it can be any soap but Dove. Others say it can be any soap but Ivory. Others say it has to be Dove. Others say it has to be Ivory. It's at the end of the bed. If you do that, you will no longer be bothered by restless leg syndrome, which, by the way, bothers a lot of people in our society.
Why would anybody be, I'm sorry, folks, dumb enough to believe that? What do people think there is about soap in the bed that would have anything to do with your legs?
But now, come on. You know, why? I mean, you turn on a radio. How does a radio work? Why do you have things in the sky that, you know, that are radio waves? It goes along with other things. That's reality.
But there aren't any soap waves. I'm sorry. There are no waves coming out of the soap.
No, there are no soap waves.
Mysteriously curious.
But people swear. They swear it works. So, if your legs are better and you have those soap bars at the end of your bed,
I'm gonna
you
keep
swear
those bars
by
there.
It,
yeah,
of
exactly.
course.
Yeah.
Are you doing yourself any harm? No. Is there any science behind it? No, not at all.
So maybe like with a lot of things, a lot of this is going on in your head.
Uh-huh.
And maybe even with something like restless leg syndrome, a lot of this is mind-body connection.
The mind-body connection. In other words, putting the soap there is a mind-body connection. Now, what works with restless leg syndrome? Now, if you've got bad restless leg syndrome, they're drugs that work. They're drugs that are in the group of drugs that we use for treating people with Parkinson's disease. There's a drug called Requip, another drug called Miraplex, and another drug called Pergolide. And these drugs are proven. They were proven in double-blind, placebo-controlled studies to work for people with bad restless leg syndrome. But if you have minor restless leg syndrome, you know what? It's a myth. But sometimes doing a myth is the easiest thing to do, and it has the least consequences. Yeah. So enjoy it, but it's a medical myth, and we busted it.
But not ivory. Or wait a minute.
Not Dove. Use ivory.
If you have a myth you'd like Zorba to bust, or if you have a question that you think might stump our favorite family doc, or just have a tip for us, we'd love to hear from you. Just send us an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener now in Vineland, New Jersey. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
What's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
My question is, I'm receiving chemotherapy for lymphoma non-Hodgkin's.
Okay.
For about 8 months now. And it was for a tumor on my shoulder. And since then, the tumor has disappeared.
Wonderful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
congratulations.
I have two oncologists. One has told me that I could take vitamins. I asked him if I could take vitamins for the immune system and cells, supplements and vitamins, and he said it was okay. But the other one said not to do it.
Uh-huh.
But I've already done it now for the last 8 months, and it seems, didn't do no harm.
And you're also getting chemotherapy for this tumor, right?
Yes, I'm getting an antibody called Rituxan.
Uh-huh. Right.
The chemotherapy was just for the first 4 months.
It was just for the first 4 months, and the tumor has disappeared. That's wonderful.
Yeah, congrats.
How about the other congratulations?
Thank you.
How about the other lymph nodes or anything else? Are there any other lymph nodes that they're looking at all?
Yes, they're looking at everything, and they've been keeping a tab on it. And everything.
Fabulous.
I'm in remission.
Fabulous. That is wonderful. Take your vitamins. Absolutely, 100%, you should absolutely take your vitamins. Tell me what you're taking.
One is like a mushroom type of vitamin. It comes from Japan, and it's cartilage.
Okay.
And the other one, things to boost the immune system.
The immune system, sure. So you're taking supplements and vitamins to boost your immune system. I see nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but
nothing at all.
Do you see anything helpful with it?
Well,
or
maybe,
right
it
with
may
it?
Be. It may be. You know, when it comes to cancer and cancer care, there are things that we know. We know that there are medications that we can give now for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you know, that normally would kill people, and these medicines work very, very well. Now, what you really saw in medicine is this difference of opinion. You've got one set of doctors who say, I want to know every single thing you're taking. Do not take a supplement, right? Don't take a supplement. Forget it. We don't want to muddy the water. Then you've got other doctors that say, well, I think supplements are really okay if they're not going to harm you. There's no evidence that taking shark cartilage and other supplements causes lymphoma. I don't think there's any evidence of that at all. If so, the FDA would take it. Causes or cures lymphoma. So my thought is when you have cancer, supplements are awesome. They're great. Take them.
Thank you.
If you feel like you have energy, enjoy them, take them, and just don't tell the other oncologist. Tell the one that you agree with.
Well, he's a younger guy, but I have a lot of faith in him no matter what.
Yeah, you can have a lot of faith with him, and you know, you can take supplements. And let me tell you something. When it comes to cancer and other things, most cancer patients, more than 50% of the cancer patients, in addition to taking their regular Western remedy, such as the chemotherapy for cancer, often take alternative remedies. And a lot of those people never tell their physicians that they're taking other remedies because they know their physicians are not going to agree with them. Yeah. And I think that's really, it's kind of silly for doctors to say, well, it's taboo. I'm not going to tell you to take it or not to take it. Doctors ought to know that. I think you should enjoy your supplements. Take them. They're probably improving your quality of life.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Now, he has faith in a young doctor.
Yeah, right.
We have a young producer.
We
don't have any
faith.
We don't have
any faith
in our
at
young
all. That's
producer.
Right. He's too young. He's born way before. You know, he's too young. You know, what does he know?
1-800-462-7413. So we men are wimps about colds, you say?
Yes, yes. Well, that really is the issue. You know, we've got the flu season, we get the cold season, we get the summer cold season, we get the allergy season. And a recent survey that came out of Scotland found that one in three men took off work because of the flu or the cold. Okay,
yeah.
One in three. Guess how many it was in women?
Obviously not as many.
One in five. That's it. There's the proof. Nothing else. Thank you very much.
Well, that doesn't...
Men are wimps. They take off. Women don't take off.
Well,
they push through it.
Or...
They work.
Or...
They work.
Or they aren't wimps about colds, but they use any excuse they can to get out of work.
Well, I see.
So,
you mean it's not the cold excuse that they're using. It's let me try to get out of the work excuse.
I can't come in today.
Sorry.
But I can get out to the golf course.
I can get out to the golf course. It's Scotland.
So maybe
it's Scotland,
they're
where they have great golf courses. That's where they invented
maybe
golf.
Women are more dedicated to the workplace.
No, no. I've got another theory.
Yeah.
The reason why golf was invented in Scotland is because men are wimps when it comes to work. Therefore, they had to do something. They invented golf.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Maybe in Scotland, one in five men, because men wear the same kind of kilts that, you know, so they're more like women in Scotland.
Yeah, but they don't wear underwear under their kilts. You knew that, didn't you?
How will you know that?
I lived in Nova Scotia, and then we went on a golf outing and we had to wear kilts. The question was, do you wear them the way they wear them in Scotland or not?
And what'd they say?
Well, you were on this golf outing. You had to wait them in Scotland, and it was wool, and it was and it was 95. It's never 95 degrees in Nova Scotia. It was hot.
Right.
We were at every hole. You had to take a drink, alcoholic drink, and then you wore. How did we get onto this conversation? You went to wear a wool skillet.
I'm still not sure.
We're talking about Scotland and men taking off from work. You're getting me off my conversation. Men are wimps when it comes to their. The Scotland is another story. Then we'll do it another time.
I still want to know whether you know this from fact or it took somebody's word on faith.
I. No, this is truth. This is truth. Men are wimps, one in three. Now, wait a second. This was in Scotland. Do you think the same thing is true in Germany?
1-800-462-7413. 1-800-462-7413. Let's get back to the focus of the program.
Focus on the program.
Our listeners. A listener now in Manhattan, New York. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Thanks for staying with us through that. How can we help you?
Well, I'm looking for a second opinion.
Oh, of course. I love second opinions. I'll give it to you. You want me to give it to you twice?
Yeah. I want you to tell me the same
thing. And if you want an uninformed third opinion, I'd be happy to try it.
2 second opinions, 1 third opinion. This is the place to shop for medicine. Way to go.
What's the question?
My question is that can you treat acne or chickenpox scarring? Is there some sort of, you could reduce the size of the pores? Uh-huh. Is there any type of treatment?
Well, there are two different skin problems.
Let me interrupt. What was the first opinion?
Well, you know, if you go online, there's a bunch of different types of websites that tell you, you know, try this ointment and this, you know, mm-hmm. it'll reduce the size of your pores. Mm-hmm. Or try laser treatments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, they say that it'll increase your collagen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they say that the older you get, mm-hmm. the more visible the pores get, especially mm-hmm. pertaining to acne scarring. Mm-hmm. Because your skin changes over the years.
Oh, sure. No, your skin does change over the years. What happens is you lose something called elastin. Elastin is the elasticity of the skin. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you get older, you don't have as much elastin. The collagen changes, and so wrinkles develop basically because of this lack of elastin. And if we could reverse this change, then you would have 80-year-olds who would look like 20-year-olds because you could actually reproduce the elastin. But let's talk a little bit specifically about this. There's a little difference between chickenpox scarring and acne scarring. Now, both of them can be related, you know, to an infection. In one case, it was a viral infection. In the other case, it was a bacterial infection. And sometimes, with acne scarring, you can improve the infection by long-term antibiotics because there may still be an infection beneath the surface. And so taking the drug minocycline or doxycycline or erythromycin for 3 to 6 months may cause a change in that scar. The other thing is that for some people, taking Accutane, you know, which is a heavy-duty drug, but for some people can make a difference. It can alter the acne and the way the acne looks. Not necessarily post-scar, but if there's active acne that's still going on, it'll make a difference.
But that wouldn't work with scars later.
Well, not with a scar that is there. But sometimes you can't tell if a scar has an active infection within it. It's sometimes very difficult. Now, with chicken pox, the scar is gone. Usually the infection is gone, and it's usually is much more reticent to this type of chemical treatment. Oh. Local treatment on the whole doesn't work with this. In other words, when you go to the websites and they're promising you the pore size will change with this, we really don't have anything that has been shown in double-blind control studies to really change that pore size. Now, sometimes laser treatments really do make a difference. They can work. They're expensive treatments, but sometimes laser does work with these. Oh. So laser is a different thing. So you have laser may work. You've got pills that may work. The ointments and the chemicals that you put on there, much less likely. Mm-hmm.
What about the microdermabrasion?
Well, that works, but it works temporarily. And the microdermabrasion may work.
What is that?
Well, it's kind of a sandpapering of the skin, and they took off the top layer. And for some people, that really does work. And so they'll do it once in a test way. And then often they'll do it before they have an event, before they're getting married, before they have a show that they're doing. They may do it. And that exfoliative will work, but it works on a temporary basis. It doesn't work for more than a few days to a few weeks. That's sort of the mm-hmm. length of when it works.
Because I've taken Accutane before mm-hmm. in my prior years.
Okay.
And so this is pretty much like a post-Accutane.
Post-Accutane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you were on antibiotics for this?
Oh, I don't get it. Like, these are just permanent scars.
Okay.
They're not
okay.
something that comes up.
Okay.
I don't get acne anymore.
Got it.
You know, I'm in my 30s right now.
Although there are people in their 30s that get acne.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get that.
It's just that the scarring, was wondering about.
The dermabrasion will give you temporary relief. That would be the antibiotics are not going to work if there's no infection.
But the laser might.
The laser might do that, and I would look at a good dermatologist, and I would say, what sort of treatment? And I would look for pre and post, and I would go to somebody who is good. Mm-hmm. And for that, in your area, you have to ask other people and find out. Finding a good physician who's not going to take your money is not always the easiest thing to do.
Yes.
Whether you're in New York, Kansas City, Montana, Wisconsin, or California. You know, when it comes to plastic surgical procedures or dermatology, there are some physicians who are good and some physicians who are not. Mm-hmm. If you have a doctor who you trust who's not a dermatologist, then you want to do, or, you know, or a plastic surgeon, you want to ask them who they would recommend.
Mm-hmm. And then they might even have some permanent solution.
They might have some permanent solution. And let me tell you, there's a lot of research that's going on here. So even though, especially with lasers, even though we may not have the treatment right now, the treatment may be 2 and 3 years down the line, because the laser therapy for dermatological problems has boomed in the last 10 years, and it's far better than it was 10 years ago. It's expensive because the machines are expensive.
Exactly.
And basically, you're paying for the technology with the machine, but if they work, they're worth it. So, and getting two opinions with this from two dermatologists may be worth that money, going and looking and say, what can you do? What are the pre and what are the post? And then doing a test case, you know, and one scar on your skin may be worthwhile.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You very much for the call. I'm sorry, I'm just pausing. I'm thinking, do I have a doctor I trust? Do I have a doctor I trust?
Just keep on repeating that mantra, Tom. Just keep on repeating it. Do I have a doctor that I trust?
Recipe time coming up.
And it's a good one because it uses tempeh.
Tofu.
Tempeh.
You can imagine how excited I am about this recipe coming up. More of your calls. I'm really excited about those here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Again, that toll-free number, and Zorba's always happy to hear from you if you have questions. 1-800-462-7413. A good time now to give us a call at 800-462-7413. We will get back to the phones, but of course it is recipe time now. And this one is for Tropical
tempeh stir-fry.
And tempeh in fact...
tofu.
Yeah. Okay. But supposedly...
Gosh,
it's
so bad,
as opposed,
you made me admit that tempeh
as
is
opposed,
tofu.
It's rumored...
It's
I haven't
rumored. Rumored. Okay, rumored.
That tempeh tastes a whole lot better than other
no
tofu.
No comparison. You know what the difference is?
What?
The difference is between a taste that's like Jell-O and a taste like a fine-aged steak.
Yeah. And
for you.
We should
in a way that you can understand that.
We should let the listeners know that our executive producer, Charles Monroe-Kane, has taken Zorba's recipe and cooked it up, and right in front
that's
of us now is this tropical tempeh stir fry.
Unreal.
And it smells, I must say,
it smells good.
Delicious.
It smells so delicious that it's my mouth is watering.
Okay.
Just thinking about it, I've got to get through this recipe so I can finally taste it. And I know, Tom, based on the way you're looking at me, that you are so excited about this that you can hardly hold your breath.
Actually, I am, because it smells so good.
I can't believe it.
And
I can't believe it. It's
me
true.
How good it tastes.
Ma, would I lie? Never. I would not lie, by the way. I mean, I can tell when you're excited about things.
Let's pass that one by.
Okay, let's pass that one by.
And go to the recipe.
Okay, start out with 2 tablespoonfuls of olive oil.
2 big tea olive oil.
Or you can use sesame oil. Sesame oil will add another taste to it.
Oh.
It's a good oil. I mean, you know, olive oil, of course, is a monounsaturated. It's really a great oil.
Yeah.
Sesame is not quite as healthful, but it's 2 tablespoonfuls, and sesame is great in anything that uses soy.
Okay.
500 grams of tempeh.
Okay. 500 grams of tempeh.
That's right.
And you cut them in little...
Yeah, 500 grams.
Little pieces?
That's right. Cut them into little pieces.
Okay.
A chop a large onion.
One large onion chopped.
Crush a clove.
One clove, garlic
that's
clove.
That's right, one garlic clove.
Crushed.
That's right. Grate a tablespoonful of fresh ginger.
Big tea, fresh
And remember,
ginger.
The way I use ginger is I have ginger root. I have it in the freezer all the time.
Okay.
I take it out of the freezer and I put it on the grater. It grates beautifully. And then you always have ginger whenever you want to use it. And I know, Tom, you love ginger, so you want to do this. You want to keep ginger in the freezer and grate it frozen.
I do love ginger.
Yeah, that's what I
mean.
But
if I kept it in the freezer, it would last forever.
It lasts forever because you never cook.
Yeah, right.
Because you never cook. A large carrot that is sliced.
Slice a large carrot.
Okay, now two peppers, green and red. Medium, you can use large if you want to, cut them into rings.
Okay, a red pepper and a green pepper cut into rings.
Into rings. Sure. And if you're going to do it over the summertime, you could use a yellow pepper and a purple pepper because they're cheap in the summertime and they're great.
Oh.
You like those purple peppers?
I don't think I've ever had a purple
wonderful.
Pepper.
Oh, they're wonderful in the summer.
How many purple peppers?
It's the whole thing, isn't it? All right. The whole thing. All right. One stick of celery.
A stick of celery.
A cup of snow peas.
One cup of snow
a
peas.
A can of pineapple chunks.
Can of pineapple chunks.
And a, oh, boy, you're getting more and more excited. And a tablespoonful of soy sauce.
Big tea soy sauce.
There we go. Now, in a large skillet or a wok, add a little bit of sesame oil. Fry the tempeh cubes over medium heat. Add the chopped onion, the crushed garlic, the grated ginger, and fry until the onions are nice and soft.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and quick. Then increase the heat from medium to high. Add the veggies and stir fry them. Add the pineapple juice from the can. Cover. Cook for 10 minutes. Can you picture this? Can you picture this?
I'm picturing.
Then add the pineapple pieces. You don't add those until the end. And the soy sauce. Remove it from the heat. So in other words, the pineapple pieces are going to be nice and fresh and very bright. Remove it from the heat. Cover it. Let it sit for 5 minutes to thicken. Serve it over rice and voila.
Yeah.
Voila.
I'm looking over.
Voila.
As you're
really,
giving the rate.
Really,
as,
really
I'm going to try this, but I'm looking over the information that Adam Friedrich, our producer, has given me about tempeh.
And I'm going to eat a piece right now while you're doing that. Okay.
Tempeh is a fermented food made by the controlled fermentation of cooked soybeans with a rhizopus mold. The tempeh.
Rhizopus. Spell it.
R-H-I-Z-O-P-U-S.
Wonderful. And it's a word I've never learned. It's great in Scrabble.
I have no idea. The tempeh fermentation by the rhizopus mold.
Keep on reading, Tom. I'm eating.
Well, don't take it all. Binds the soybeans into a compact white cake. Tempeh fermentation.
By the way, this is all on the test. Produces
natural antibiotic agents.
Wonderful.
Wonderful natural antibiotic. But they're thought to increase the body's resistance to intestinal infections.
Fabulous.
But leaves the desirable, it says here, soy isoflavones.
Oh, those are good things.
Intact.
No, no, they're like vitamins.
I've got a lot more, but I'm not going to read it because I want to eat.
How do you like it? It's really good.
I'll let you know.
It's great. You're having another piece, aren't you?
That's very good.
Wait a minute. You just said something made with soy is very good. I can't believe it.
It must be the rhizopus mold.
You had a second piece. You said it's very good. I could die and go to heaven. That's it. End of show. Thank you very much, folks. That's it. No more Tom Likes. It's been years since I've been able to get Tom to say there's something good about soy.
But you need something to drink with it. It kind of gets in
a little some tequila or something. No. Like that. It's soy. Anyway, it's great. When we look at the recipe itself, per serving, this is a serving of six. If you come to the website at www.zorbapastor.org, you can find the recipe right now. Calories are 250 calories. 22% of the fat that you need for the day, because tofu, of course, has good fat. It has some soy fat, which is great. It's got some dietary fiber. It's a wonderful recipe. And you know what? It tastes good, and it's vegetarian, and it has one-third of the protein you need for the entire day.
Yeah. Chuck's a pretty good cook, isn't he?
Chuck is a great cook. I love it. I'm going to have one more piece, and then
I'm going to close this. Do you buy that resistance to intestinal infections?
Of course I do. It's soy. Soy is always good. There's nothing bad about soy. It's not PC to ever downplay soy.
Yeah, but do you buy that?
Of course I do.
You know it's true.
Yeah, Chuck said it was true. Anything Chuck says as executive producer must be true, of course. Would I doubt him? The show would never be done. I bow to him and I say, whatever you say, Chuck, is true.
I appreciate
it. You mean, do I buy it on a scientific basis?
I appreciate that, but it's not exactly medical research. In any case, if you'd like this recipe, we'd like to send it to you. And it really is good. Address your request.
I can't believe it.
Address.
You said soy is good.
Address your request to Zorba Pastor on Your Health, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, zip code 53706. Be sure to include that self-addressed stamped business-sized envelope. We'll send it along to you.
And again, the website is zorbapastor.org.
+1 800 462 7413, our toll-free number. And Zorba, here's a listener with us now in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Appreciate the call. How can we help?
Well, actually, my boyfriend has a problem that every time he drinks, he mainly drinks beer.
Uh-huh.
And every time he
drinks, brand? What brand of beer?
It's mainly he drinks Budweiser.
She's from St. Louis.
St. Louis, Budweiser. There's a little connection here together.
All right.
So his face gets really red and blotchy, and then it's actually, I mean, he feels hot, but it's hot to the touch.
Got you. In other words, he feels hot, but if you touch his face, it feels hot to you. Now, what about other alcoholic beverages? Does he drink anything else where this doesn't happen, or does it just happen with Bud?
Well, fortunately for you all, when it doesn't really happen as much with Miller, but it has before.
It doesn't always happen with Miller,
yeah,
but it happens before.
It's mainly with Budweiser products, and it gets really red.
Right. This is a reaction to the alcohol. And it may be also a reaction to some of the other substances besides the alcohol. But generally, these will occur in people, for instance, for some people if they have red wine and they don't have white wine. And it'll occur in some people if they have spirits, you know, such as Smirnoff Ice. And if they don't have spirits, it'll occur in beer. So it happens in a very different thing. And it's an allergic type response.
Wow. So he just can't drink any
right.
beer.
Is it like a dangerous allergic response?
No. It's not dangerous, but it's very disconcerting for the person who drinks it. First of all, they're drinking it, and they turn red, and they feel hot, and it doesn't make them comfortable. And there is a treatment. I mean, it's an interesting treatment. The treatment is you have to take, this is before you drink, you have to take an antihistamine, such as over-the-counter generic Claritin, one or two or three or four tablets. That works with some people. In other words, four Claritin generic before you go out and have a drink or two. I mean, we're not talking about going out and putting it on and getting drunk. This will happen with one drink with many people. So for some people, the cheapest and most inexpensive way is to take one to four Claritin a half an hour before they have a drink. So it's in their system, and that works. For other people, they take Claritin and an aspirin tablet, a full-strength aspirin tablet, and that also blocks the release. Now, why aspirin works, I don't know. I just know that it works. And for other people, they have to add a drug called Singular, S-I-N-G-U-L-I-R. Singular is a drug used in asthma. It's also used for allergies. It's a very potent drug, but it's also a very expensive drug. I think 30 tablets are about $100. So they're about $3 a tablet. So it's the same as
that. He's got asthma as well.
Oh, then he probably needs to have the Singular also.
Okay.
That's what he needs. And he needs to get that from his physician, because it's the same genetic predisposition he has to asthma is being activated by the alcohol. And frankly, it's that his body, you know, he's drinking more Bud, but if you were in Wisconsin and you were drinking more Miller, it would probably happen on more Miller. Or if you were in Southwest.
I'm sure if he were in Wisconsin, that would take care of the whole problem.
That would be it.
Just
bring him
to
up
Wisconsin.
To Wisconsin. Move to Wisconsin. The weather is nicer anyway, especially in the winter, right? And drink Miller. But it is the same thing that's producing his asthma. Is producing the same problem that he's having, which is a reaction to the alcohol and some of the byproducts. So, that's what he's got to do. And people do that. They'll say, "Hey, I want to go to a party, want to have a drink," and they'll take their Claritin, their Singular, and their aspirin, and often that'll take.
And there's no problem with taking all those pills and having drinks.
Not at all. You're blocking this histamine response, which is what it's called.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks for listening.
800-462-7413. Zorba, a listener with us now in Spokane, Washington. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up?
I suffer from, well, maybe suffer is a bit of an exaggeration, but chronically worn out all the time.
Chronically worn out. So when you say worn out, what do you do for a living? Where do you work?
I am a real estate appraiser. I work for myself.
Yes, you work for yourself. How's business?
Terrific. Okay. It's always good if you're an appraiser.
It's always good if you're an appraiser.
Well, it doesn't matter what the market is. I mean, if it's lousy, you're busy, and if it's good, you're busy.
I see. It doesn't make a difference. You're busy. How long have you been in that business?
8 years.
Okay, so you really know that business. Any stressors within it? Are you under stress in your life, do you feel?
No. Mm-hmm. I take on as much work as I feel I can comfortably
Okay, so
handle.
So you can control the amount of work you do. Because one of the issues often with fatigue is whether or not there's a lot of stress in your life. A lot of people feel fatigued when they're overburdened with work and there's just too much for them to do. Okay, so that's not part of it. You don't feel overburdened by what you're doing.
No. Right? Okay. In fact, I felt this most of my adult life, I'd say probably since my 30s.
Well, first of all, fatigue, by the way, is probably after pain and discomfort and upper respiratory infections. It's one of the most common things that I see in my office and other primary care docs see all the time in their office. A lot of things masquerade as fatigue. Depression can masquerade as fatigue. Doesn't sound like you're depressed, but that's one of the things that can masquerade as fatigue. Hypothyroidism, if you've had your thyroid checked, I take it, over the years?
Yes.
Okay. And it's been normal or abnormal?
No, it's fine.
Okay, so that's the other thing. And, and then the final thing is whether or not you ought to be on a drug such as Ritalin or another drug called Provigil. Provigil is another drug which is Ritalin-like, not as likely to produce the addictive problems as Ritalin or Concerta, which is the long-acting Ritalin, and see whether or not that works for you. And there are a number of patients who either have fatigue or attention deficit disorder who are on that drug chronically. Now, there are problems with it, just like people who are on certain tranquilizers there are problems with, but you have to sit down with your doctor and decide whether or not you want to stay on it.
Yeah. Or maybe an antidepressant. A lot of people who aren't depressed and who are fatigued.
If you've never had a trial with an antidepressant, I think I would try that. The one that I would try is bupropion, which is known as Wellbutrin, or Zyban. It's used as Zyban for smoking cessation. And I would try an antidepressant and see if that would work. For a lot of people, it makes them sleep better. It gives them more energy during the day. I think I'd try that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck to you. You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. 800-462-7413, our toll-free number. More of your calls coming up. We have listener tips coming up, too, and more research here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Glad you're with us. Before we get back to the phone, Zorba, you mentioned research on exercise and dementia.
That's right. And I must tell you, it's important research. And, we talk about exercise all the time. We talk about dementia all the time. This is something that's close to my heart. My mother died of Alzheimer's disease in 1981. And when Alzheimer's disease, the A word was like the C word. If you said the A word of Alzheimer's, people said, shh, Alzheimer's, or the C word, cancer. That was back in 81. I mean, now we talk about it, but it's near and dear to my heart. I don't want to get Alzheimer's disease.
Talk about Alzheimer's and dementia for just a couple of seconds. Alzheimer's is dementia.
When you do MR scans of the brain, what you find is this. Half of all dementia is Alzheimer's. Half of all dementia is not. The other half is due, for the most part, to small strokes, and that is due to inadequate treatment. Well, first of all, it's bad luck, but you can have inadequate treatment of cholesterol, high blood pressure, too much alcohol, you smoke cigarettes. Okay. I mean, that's half.
Okay.
But the other half is Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's, we don't know what causes it. It is due to a buildup of amyloid. Amyloid is a protein that we make. It produces tangles and plaques. They're called in the brain. And basically, the switching doesn't work properly.
Talk about this research.
Well, this was interesting. We don't know if there's a cause and effect. Once again, it's a longitudinal study. It's not a double-blind placebo-controlled study on exercise. You can't double-blind exercise, right?
Right.
Oh, I don't know if I'm exercising. I'm exercising. It's impossible. So all you can do is look at people who are exercising and find things out. It was a longitudinal study that looked at more than 1,700 people from 1994 to 2003.
Right.
Long study. Nobody in the study had dementia at the beginning of the study. They looked at people who exercised and people who didn't, and they had health habits. In other words, some people exercise, some don't. So people who exercised for about 30 minutes a day, 3 to 4 days a week had 30 to 40% less likelihood that they developed Alzheimer's disease.
How strenuous do you have to be?
Anything that included walking and walking sort of so that you get a little sweat up or you feel like you're walking, jogging, swimming, golfing, playing tennis, shuffleboard.
And it was moving your body. And what was the
That's
effect
what it
again?
Was.
What was the effect?
30 to 40% drop in the risk of developing Alzheimer's
40%?
That's huge.
It is huge.
That's huge. That's huge. Because you know, as I said, these people generally exercise 3 to 4 days a week. The most important thing is the fact that if exercise reduces the risk of having Alzheimer's disease, that means it's a very important thing for senior citizens to be doing, and they're
exercise
not doing this.
Starting early in life or right.
Well, these people are senior citizens, so these are people 65 and older.
Oh, so these are old people. Exercising.
These are people who are older. They're exercising, and so it tends out to be an important thing. Now, does it work if you're younger? Probably, but it works if you're older. So, if you're an older person, get out and walk. It'll protect your brain.
1-800-462-7413. If you'd like to talk with Zorba, that's 800-462-7413. Zorba, a listener with us now in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Zorba.
Hello.
Hey, I went to the doctor recently and found out that I have high cholesterol.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And so I went on a low-fat diet.
Good.
And have been pretty successful with it.
Good.
And I've lost about 25 pounds.
Yay!
Yeah.
Losing weight is a yay time. Losing weight is always a yay time. Congratulations.
Yeah. I've always been a thin guy. I'm 6'5" tall. And at my heaviest, I was just a little over 200 pounds.
Okay.
And so I've lost this 25 pounds, and you know, my wife thinks I'm wasting away.
Your wife thinks you're wasting away?
Yeah.
How much did you weigh when you married her?
165.
Wait a second. You're just moving back to the time that when you married her. You were 165
right.
when you married her.
Yeah, but I was very,
wait a minute. You were 165 and you were 6'5". You were definitely a thin guy.
Yeah
there's no
doubt.
I mean, you've got a BMI of about 20 at that, or 21 or 22.
Yeah, she's right. You are wasting away.
Yeah, you're wasting away. So she wants you to gain weight?
Right. Right, but we want to do it in a healthy way.
Yeah, of course. Well, you always pay attention to what your wife says, right?
Of course.
Of course.
Where I am today.
There we go. Well, so you would like to put it back.
Yeah.
Some of it back, but you don't want to put... Now, I've got a question for you. Did you feel like you were too heavy when you were 200 pounds?
No, I didn't.
No.
I felt comfortable. Uh-huh. I felt I was carrying my weight well.
Okay. So what's your question?
What can I eat to gain the weight back?
Yeah.
Good food. That's what you eat. You eat good food. In other words, you don't eat food that is overloaded in anything. Now, the question is, what is good food? Good food means protein. It means appropriate carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are great. They're important for our body, but they should be complex carbohydrates. Whole grains, beans, whole wheat, you know, not refined sugars, not refined sweets. And fat should be no more than maybe 20 or 30% of your diet maximum. And what will happen is, as you do that, if you eat more calories than you're burning, then you will begin to gain weight, and you should, in addition to that, do weight-bearing activity. So go to the gym. I mean, that's what it means. Now, do you and your wife exercise together?
Not together. We do exercise, not together.
Is she the right weight?
Yeah, she is.
Okay. So, I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to go and put on muscle mass, and the way to do that is you've got to encourage the muscle mass with muscular activity, some weightlifting activity, some jogging. It's got to be weight-bearing exercise or weightlifting activity, a little heavier on the protein that you would normally have. The way to find out what a good diet is this, go to mypyramid.gov. You know, mypyramid.gov. What you do is that's the new food pyramid, which tells you for your age, for your height, for your weight, what you should be eating, and that's the diet to follow. And there are 11 different pyramids on there based on diet and activity and height and so on. It'll give you a way of, it'll tell you how many cups of legumes, how many dairy products and so on that you need. Follow that diet. It'll tell you the number of calories, and if you want to increase your weight, add 200 calories to that. You got it. You're there. You're home.
Okay. Great. Yeah.
Good luck with it.
Thank you.
What was that email?
Mypyramid.gov.
You know what I thought you said?
Mypyramid.gov.
I thought you said mypyramid.god.
Oh, no.
I didn't know there was
That's not the end. That's not .god. I can just see that website. I didn't know there was that kind of address. Gov. All the government website ends in G-O, end in G-O-V.
We have some listener tips coming up, Zorba. A few weeks back, we had a caller who suffered from canker sores. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Here are a couple of surefire tips on how to cure canker sores compliments
I'm
of our
waiting.
Faithful listeners.
I am waiting.
A listener in Yukon, Oklahoma, suffered from a canker sore, or suffered from canker sores for many years until she started taking a daily vitamin B complex.
Oh, not bad. I think it's a great idea.
She says that now the only time she gets canker sores is when she forgets to take her vitamin B.
Fantastic.
B as in boy.
Fantastic.
A Bloomington, Indiana listener
found
out.
There's no vitamin V. There's only vitamin B. There's no vitamin B.
Well, there's D. That's why I did the input.
Oh, I see. Got it.
A Bloomington, Indiana listener found out that a simple switch of his toothpaste did the trick.
Okay.
He says to look out for an ingredient called SLS that's common in toothpaste.
Oh, uh-huh.
He hasn't had a flare-up since switching
to But he's right.
SLS-free
that's
toothpaste.
That's right. Because there are a whole bunch of things that are put into toothpaste, and changing it to more natural toothpaste turns out to work for some people. Excellent point.
SLS stands for?
Who knows? Who knows? Stands for who knows. Or what me worry. What me worry?
Finally,
no idea.
Finally, a listener in Boise, Boise, Idaho, suggests putting alum on the sore.
Alum, great.
He says it hurts like blazes, but in a day or two, the sore would be gone
without
fail.
Great idea. Alum, I love it. Try it. Maybe you'll like it.
Oh, yeah.
Right, alum.
Hurts like blazes. I'm sure going to try that in a hurry.
Can't wait. That's what I want.
We do like hearing from you. If you have a listener tip or a stump the doc question, send us an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
Want to talk with Zorba? Here's the number to call. 1-800-462-7413. A listener with us now, Zorba, in San Luis Obispo, California. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
Good.
How can we help you?
Even though I live in the sunny state of California, I hate fish. I just cannot seem to eat it in any way that
you hate what?
Healthily.
Fish.
Hates fish.
Fish. Yes.
Fish.
And I've never liked fish, even as a kid, unless it's battered and deep fried.
Okay.
Or
so you've had it battered and deep fried.
Swimming and buttered. Yeah.
So it's battered and deep fried and swimming in butter. Okay.
So I've heard a lot about how good fish is, and you eat it twice a week, and it's great for your heart.
Yeah, you've heard that from Zorba.
Okay. Yeah. Would you like something? Would you like
everywhere?
Now, I've got a question. You eat tuna fish, right, or not?
I do eat tuna fish, but it's not something I could eat.
Twice a week.
Now, do you like teriyaki? Do you like chicken teriyaki?
Chicken teriyaki, I'm okay with. I'm not real big on a lot of spices.
Okay. But chicken teriyaki with a mild teriyaki sauce is something you could eat.
But she doesn't like fish.
No,
what's that got
salmon,
to do?
Salmon teriyaki
Dynamite. Teriyaki.
Salmon teriyaki on the grill is one of our favorite
things. But she's going to eat that twice a week.
In fact, I've got to bring in a recipe for that one of these weeks.
But she isn't going to eat that twice a week either, Zorba.
But you know something? Even if you can't eat fish twice a week, if you eat fish once a week or once every other week, you're going to get some benefit. So you have to look and say, and you're a perfect example because we're not a fish eating society. What can I do to increase my fish intakes? Let me ask you another question. Then I'm going to give you a meal plan. Have you had those seafood sticks at all? Have you ever tried those? It's called artificial crab.
Oh, no, I've never had those.
Okay. I've got a couple of suggestions. First of all, what you want to do is this. You want to look and say, okay, once a week I'm going to have tuna, or once every 2 weeks. I'm going to have tuna the way I like it. So you do that. So let's say you do it twice a month. Let's say you immediately have tuna twice a month. You do that. I want you to go to the store and buy the most expensive artificial crab you can buy. And the reason is there's a big difference in taste. I don't need to mention name brand, that the ones that's made by Louis Kemp, which happens to be made by Oscar Mayer, which happens to be owned by Kraft, to me is the best tasting artificial lobster and artificial crab. Now, artificial lobster and artificial crab is a pure fish food. In other words, it's fish. To me, it happens to be absolutely delicious. I love it. You should try it. Take it. See if you like it. If you like it, that's another way of doing it in your diet. Now, you said, I'll eat teriyaki chicken. I'll eat it. It's not, I don't want it to be too spicy. What you do is you go to the store and you try two or three different sauces on chicken that you like, and you make teriyaki chicken. Then you do that with salmon. And you will probably like it because teriyaki salmon is great. And what you want to do is experiment a little book. I also recommend a book. You can order it at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. It's called The Man Who Ate Everything. It's a great book. Let me tell you what the guy happened to be the food editor for Vogue. And he did it. And what he decided was, a number of years ago, he decided that he would go and he would eat all the foods that he never wanted to taste. And so every single article, which is a chapter, which are articles that he wrote, are on a food that he hated that he decided that he was going to go and eat, like calamari. He said he couldn't stand the idea of eating squid and calamari, so he went on a search around the world to eat the best calamari. He's a Vogue editor. He can go around the world. He's got the magazine will place it. So he went to Greece, and he went to Spain, and he went to Italy, and he tried all different kinds of calamaris. And at the end of each chapter is a recipe for the foods that he ate. The funny thing about it is, how did he get over the food dislikes that he had a fear of? You know, they were not really fears. But how did he do that? It's a wonderful read. I highly recommend it for adult eaters that won't eat things. The Man Who Ate Everything. It's hysterical.
Okay.
Are you going to do this, what Zorba suggested?
I'm going to try.
You try. you got a couple of things to try. Try it. You'll like it. Begin with it. So try it a little bit.
Lobsters are not fish.
No, artificial. I'm talking about artificial lobster. Well, I'm moving seafood into there. I'm talking about stuff from the sea. But artificial lobster is made out of pollock.
Oh, artificial.
Yeah, artificial crab is made out of pollock. It's a fish product.
It's a fish product which
is flavored with the juice of lobster and crab. Yeah. But it's made out of, I think it's pollock. I can't remember. It's pollock. Yeah. It's another saltwater fish.
Yeah. Maybe public radio would be willing to fund us traveling around
the
world.
That's a great idea.
Trying foods that we don't usually like.
We'll do the show.
It would be great radio.
Next week, we'll do it from Greece. There we go, from Greece.
So until then, Zorba, thank you.
Au revoir. Au revoir.
For a copy of this week's recipe and all things Zorba, visit us on the web.
At zorbapastor.org.
Or we're happy to send you our recipe. Send us a stamped, self-addressed, business-sized envelope to Zorba Pastor on Your Health, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, zip 53706. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and is produced by Adam Friedrich. Our executive producer is Charles Monroe Kane. Joe Hartke is our engineer. Gigi Holland fills your recipe requests. Our theme music is by Ben and Leo Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, hoping you'll be with us wherever we are next week on Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
For a copy of today's show, call the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 0113Z. To buy Zorba's book, The Longevity Code, your personal prescription for a longer, sweeter life, or to pick up a copy of Zorba's Heart Healthy Cookbook, just go to our website at zorbapastor.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.